Hello. In today's episode of Arts Wrap with Alicia, I'm talking to three amazing guys who are making a big difference in Cincinnati, but in really different ways. My guests today are Carl Satterwhite, CEO of RCF Group and co-chair of the 2023 ArtsWave Community Campaign, which will raise upwards of $12 million maybe to fund 150 or more arts organizations and artists. Also here is Brent Billingsley, one of our Cincinnati artists. He's an ArtsWave grant recipient, an educator, organizer, and activist. He's also a behavioral health specialist at Cincinnati Children's Hospital and Medical Center. And then finally, Ray Gargano is ArtsWave's Vice President of Community Investment. We recruited Ray to ArtsWave about a year and a half ago from Sacramento. He also has a mashup of experiences in his life from being a high school teacher to working in performing arts, and now responsible for investing about $10 million a year in Cincinnati's cultural landscape. So welcome to Arts Wrap, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, so glad you're here. I want to get right into it because you all have sort of unexpected pathways into the arts and different ways you're impacting the community through the arts. And we've all sort of talked at one time or another about the superpowers of the arts, because I really like to think about it in terms of the unexpected ways that the arts impact our community. So, Carl, I want to start with you, because you're charged with making the case to business leaders and other civic leaders that support for the arts is important. But you grew up in Lincoln Heights, a community, what is it, northwest of Cincinnati?
Yeah.
That until recently, until you stepped in with ArtsWave, didn't even have outdoor art, and now it has quite a bit of it, so thanks for that. But what was it like growing up there, and how did art make its way into your life?
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, first of all, I'm born and raised in Cincinnati, love it. This is a great community, and very often oversubscribes in how it wants to help itself. But when you think about that, I think that's why education is so important. You know, so when I was growing up, the arts wasn't necessarily embedded in my day-to-day life. So I did not only feel it, I didn't see it.
Right.
So I didn't get to see men and women and leaders of any stature that were able to prove to me that arts is what helps you to be your authentic self, that arts has a way of bringing out of you something that you didn't even know was there.
Right.
So I really missed that experience, and it really wasn't until I got out of high school that I got into the community called Cincinnati to see that arts is a part of who we are. And as I started seeing and hearing and feeling and being able to witness the arts in this community, I just really was like a child. It opened my eyes in a ways that I have never had before. And I thought, man, I really have missed something. So for me, you know, arts is something that has to start at a younger age.
Yeah.
You know, I so missed it that it now has really put me to a place where I'm going to ensure that my grandchildren get a full immersion, you know, so that they have a full immersion to be able to experience all of the wonders that this community has to offer.
That's amazing. And it's wonderful that you have brought art into your life at a time of your life that you could really appreciate it and want to pass it on, pay it forward. And so sitting next to you is Brent Billingsley,
one of those
artists that's going to benefit from the hard work of the campaign and the generosity of the community.
Yeah.
And then what he's doing will inspire you, because he is working with youth in the hospital setting who have a lot to gain from art therapies, and we'd love to hear about that, Brent. And then also on the street with really direct programming with youth and the police department and education system. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing?
We ain't got enough time for all that, but look at here. I'm gonna give you the cliff notes real quick. Like,
okay.
So first of all, thank you. And thank you, ArtsWave, because you guys are directly responsible for what I'm doing currently. Just a quick backstory. You know, I worked at Ford for 14 years and I just left. You know how it is, you know, you had that factory background, everybody thought I was crazy or doing other things. And I left for the ambiguity of, arts and social services, which does not gel well in my family. I think it's a cultural thing. I didn't grow up around art or around artists or around people who were instrumental in making things like that happen in our community. But there was something that was in me. And when you're an artist, you know early when you're an artist. You know early, you know, I don't remember not knowing how to draw. I don't recall. All I remember is people accusing me of tracing, you know. So that was always in me. And I left, and then I went and got my bachelor's, and I got my bachelor's in art, master's in social work. Then I started working at the hospital, and I utilized art all the time there. So I work in psychiatry, Children's Hospital, as a behavioral specialist. I'm also a newly titled artist at Children's Hospital, so that's one of my new titles I do there. So they recognize that, and they says, okay, we need to utilize his talents and gifts more. So I've transitioned my role there as well, but I'm still doing the behavioral stuff too, because that's what I'm called to do.
Right.
And so I did that for a while, and I was doing great. I was doing some great things for some great artists, but there was still more. So I said, okay, so heard about the whole arts way, because I still had not immersed myself yet, but I'm hearing stuff. I was meeting people like Brandon Hawkins, and I met G. Horton and Michael Kopage and Cedric Michael Cox and Andy Roof, and I was like, oh man, you guys are full-time artists, that's amazing, I gotta go back to work.
right?
Then I said, okay, I prayed about it, because I pray about everything and I try not to worry about nothing. As if Arts Wave gets me, if I get this grant, then it's over. I'm going to immerse myself and do what I see some of these artists, because they're living their best life artistically. Mm. Their world is revolving around their gifts and their talents. And I got it. I said, ooh, let's go. And then it just went off from there. So that initial grant allowed me to do my first project. And I'm big on overachieving. I said, you know, overproduce, overachieve, and do so, and execute, and then they'll call you back. Mm-hmm. So we did the first project, the Arts Wave funded, big success. Poetry Slam / big event at the Freedom Center. So then that's gone. And then I said, well, let me see if I can give me another grant from Arts Wave. And as that was happening, because of what you guys funded the first time, now I'm getting calls from other people. So, oh, we seen your stuff. Hey, you know, can you do this? Can you be at this school? Can you be at this school? So now I'm doing murals in Avondale. And here's what's funny about me. I don't plan community murals. I just go out there and paint and start painting. Mm. And I'm very organic. And I'll start painting. And here comes the first kid. Mm. And I was like, where you think you're going? Get this brush in your hand. They're like, who are you? I said, I'm Mr. B. Who are you? Let's go.
Oh, wow.
And then the next day, four kids show up, and then you feed them and they don't go anywhere after that. and my purpose is, okay, we have these projects, which is great, but how do we get to sustainable programming? Mm. How do we do that? So I asked for some more money from Arts Wave, and I got it again. Hello. and this last time it was called I'm Listening. And I knew there was a need for me to step outside of my comfort zone and do something with Cincinnati police officers. So I reached out to an officer that I saw with a bunch of kids, and I didn't know he was Officer Eddie Hawkins, shout out. Mm. I was like, there's no way he's a cop. Look how those kids are gravitating to this man. So we had a conversation, and then we just came up with I'm Listening. And I'm Listening was a project that we did where we got with cops every Saturday for 4 months straight, either 6 hours on a Saturday or 9 hours at 5 different locations. Mm. And we painted with youth. We brought youth in from behavioral schools, from group homes, from the different districts. We brought kids in from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we broke some strong cultural divides artistically. Mm. We painted, we ate, we journaled, we did poetry. It was all about utilizing the arts to overcome some stigmas that has existed since the beginning. And Arts Wave, hello, helped fuel that project. And what has happened recently is the project has shifted into a program. Because I'm all about, I love projects, I love people who paint, because I believe you put paint on everything. But
clearly.
But the kids who really need you for longer. They need more assets. They need more resources. So my goal, what my purpose is I come out for a project, but I'll be back next week or I'll be back next month. I'm going to be here with you until you need me. So the I'm Listening, the I'm Still Listening is a Schedule E, So I started Woodward in January, and we've got the approval, we got some resources. So this is, so when I talk about sustainable programming and utilizing the arts to heal, it's what I see on a regular basis. Not to mention, I got 100 stories about my hospital, because I'm still there. I said, there's no way I'm leaving here. I'll still continue to do that, but I want to grow more in the community and doing stuff like this. I want to do some more stuff with officers, and not just officers, but other, you know, people who serve the community as well. And it's just, I mean, like, I've got 1,000 stories of kids who say, Mr. B, when are you coming back?
Oh, I love that.
And that's what gets you.
Yeah.
When are you coming back? And you find a way. Sometimes there is no way, but you find a way because they deserve it. Because some of these kids who lack resources, who lack, I met a kid yesterday at Princeton. We're doing Lincoln Heights. I got two murals in Lincoln Heights.
15.
I've got the Lincoln Heights Elementary School. We did the three floors, and I got one at St. Monica's as well. That the Cincinnati Reds and PNC Bank. Shout out to the Reds and the PNC Bank
partners.
Who have been funding a lot of my projects, but that's a prime example, because I used to work in Sharonville for a motor company, and a lot of my friends were from Lincoln Heights. And there is a lot of disparity. There is a lot of nihilistic ideologies in certain neighborhoods, and art just breaks through so much because kids, they have no idea. They don't know until they see you. And then when they see African-American males especially that are doing things in their community artistically, they gravitate to that, and it lets them see that you can do this too. Mm-hmm. I think that you don't overcome by the words of your testimony and how you live your life and what you do and how you produce this over and over and over. It gives life, it gives hope, it gives purpose. You know, I think Shaq's mom, I wrote a book that says, walk like you got somewhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we give kids, is somewhere to walk to.
That's beautiful.
I'm going to stop because I've been up here all day. Y'all been a couple lights off on me.
Yeah,
I'm going to go ahead and pass the microphone.
I have so many questions. Talk about art letting you live your authentic self. That's absolutely beautiful. And the stories really bring it to life. Ray, I know there's also a lot of research that backs up all of these things that Brent is talking about and Carl is suggesting we do more of.
Yeah, absolutely, especially at the youth age, right? Mm. Arts, a systemic program in arts education really changes youth, changes their school life, how well they do academically, their social emotional skills. That leads to a great work life and ultimately a good quality of life. So, you know, we have the research to back up what you were just talking about. Your stories are more interesting than the research. But I do want to talk a little bit more about your behavioral health, because we support arts and health in general, arts for healing.
Yeah.
We know that the arts, being engaged in the arts when you're ill, helps increase your recovery faster.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it reduces pain. Mm. So many of our hospitals now are investing in the arts, whether it's just art on the walls, arts performing for patients, or them doing the arts as therapy. So your stories are much more interesting than the statistics. So I wonder if you can talk a little bit about some of your behavioral health.
So I hired at Children's Hospital 9 years ago as a behavioral specialist, and I just graduated with my bachelor's in art. So I brought all that with me. And from day one, we're doing art. Everybody knows when Mr. B shows up, I got my backpack, I got my art supplies. And I'm going to tell you something. What we do at the hospital is called crisis stabilization. So they come to us and they are suicidal, homicidal. The kids, it is made for TV movie stuff, what I see on a consistent basis. Because when the kids, by the time they get to me, the schools can't deal with them.
Sure.
And they can't be in detention centers because they're hurting themselves. And they're looking for something. They're looking for something. And they usually have no idea. Usually it's because there's a lack of the ability to be able to communicate effectively. And then I give them art.
Oh,
right? So I give them something that they can do. I said, instead of doing dumb stuff, do this.
Mm-hmm.
I always teach my kids that when you have a good goal, when you have a smart goal that's specific, measurable, attainable, relatable, and timely, especially when you're injecting dialectical behavior therapy, focus on skill sets, the clear picture, on-track thinking, on-track action, safety plan, and then the new me activities. And when you interject the Numi activities, which is evidence-based practice, hello, you give them something that they can do. You keep hands busy, not just physically, but psychologically. And the healing I've seen, I've seen kids go from I can't draw and I can't paint to doing murals by themselves at the hospital. I've seen kids go from hurting themselves or hurting somebody else to saying, I want to be an artist. Or I want to, you know, either through poetry or fine arts or something. And I see it over and over and over. And I've seen some artists who are astronomically talented. I don't know. Yes. I don't know what's the connection there is. I think that artists, you know, we're strange fruit anyway, you know. And oftentimes it's miscommunication. It's something where you're not paying attention to their nonverbals. You're not paying attention to some of their ideations or to their actions. And nobody is taking the time to actually listen. Most of our kids will come in because they've done something extreme, but that was their way of saying, no, only time that somebody listens to me is when I do this. And this is how I express myself.
Yeah.
And then when you give them art, when you give them, oh man, I'm about to tear up here. When you give them a project, when you give them materials that they've never used, when you teach them that there's more graphite than there's number two pencils. It's like, you know, it's like, what are those? This is graphite. That's not the pencil. Oh, we have five shades of pencils, baby. It's about to go down. It's not just pencils. Or you give them clay or mache or acrylic or whatever medium you give them to watch them start to create. And I do projects at the hospital that are hanging permanently at College Hill right now called One Piece at a Time, where the project itself is predicated off of, we're doing this together. You do your piece. Don't worry about what's your surroundings, because it's very, very, you know, stop worrying about what Jimmy's doing or what Raquan is doing. You worry about your piece. Complete it, and then you give it back to me. Then you pop it in, and it forms this huge, beautifully rendered piece.
Oh, that's,
and they're like, wait a minute,
great,
well, what is that?
Great metaphor,
and
yeah.
And then you say, because such is life. You know, when you work on you and you work on what you've been given and been instructed and you do it well, you are part of something greater than yourself. Because without your piece, it's not complete.
Yeah.
So you do what you do well and watch that. And so that's teamwork, right?
Yeah. That's
individualism and teamwork at the same time.
That's just what the ArtsWave community campaign is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
One gift at a time adds
Absolutely.
Up to exponentially more.
Yeah.
I love those stories, Brent, and I'm tearing up too. But so let's pivot a little bit, Carl. We've made youth engagement and arts education big themes in the upcoming ArtsWave community campaign. What has shaped your interest in arts education and youth engagement?
Well, really, you know, being transparent, initially it's my grandchildren. So, I mean, I got a 7, you know, 11, 7, and 3, and really trying to say, what can I do that will make them stay in Cincinnati, or at least give them choice? Will I be a part of the solution that they might say, I can get everything I desire here, or do I have to go to East or West Coast? So, I mean, that's
sure.
part of my underlying reason.
Yeah.
The second part, though, was really, you know, much to the stories that have been told, I just believe part of what's missing is the measurements and is the testimonies.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm born and raised here, and I'm hearing the stories tearing up. And I'm thinking, okay, how come we don't have that more magnified? Part of it is we don't have the results.
Mm.
So at some level, we have a lot, and I'm speaking more around folks in business. You know, things can be anecdotally good.
Right.
And those who care will get engaged.
Right.
But if they are measurably good, that's when you got the impact.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's when the business community is standing up in a total different way. That's when we are bringing the whole community. Now the business community is holding hands with the faith-based community, holding hands with the nonprofit community. We're all saying, no, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be a part of that. And I think that's part of what we're missing, though. We need to use this artistic expression to tell us how good we are. I welcome that. And I think part of what we're missing is, you know, I look at it through the lens of business. So I'm going to talk about from kind of chamber experience. A chamber is engaged with bringing business and business people here,
right,
assisting corporations who are recruiting people from all over the country to prove and show that this is a welcoming community.
Right.
But we don't necessarily have our artists and our artistic minded in that circle.
We don't.
You know, and
why
and I'll just be
that?
Transparent. I mean, I was just welcomed in there from a diverse perspective. So that if we're going to recruit a new international organization, they can see that there's some diverse leaders in the community.
Right.
And those diverse communities, they live and thrive here and they've been a part of. And if you're coming from somewhere where that's important, you need to know that's also going to be here.
Absolutely.
But I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if I'm on a trip or a excursion that's trying to recruit, we don't have an artist there. And that's a miss.
It is a miss.
I'm sitting here right now realizing that's part of the miss is we know how good it is, but we're not been proud enough to say, here it is. It's part of the welcome mat.
I love
it's not
that.
Just what you're gonna get and those who, you know, we well over our weight class in Fortune 500s
we
in this
do.
Region. We've been fortunate. But we are also well over our weight class in artistic expression and our artistry. But we don't necessarily celebrate that, you know, and it's really hearing in this messaging that I'm sitting here going, how come, one, I didn't know that or
right.
those things. And part of it's because, again, I'm still working from the anecdotal.
Yeah.
I know this is a good thing.
Right.
I know it makes a difference. But when you're talking about life change and you're talking yeah. about giving kids direction, yeah. and particularly when you're talking about redirecting kids who really are on a direct path to destruction, that's the work.
That's the work.
That's the work.
And it's hard to measure outcomes, in the near term at least, with arts interventions because sometimes it has to play out over time. Mm. We do a lot of work, raise team aggregates numbers, you know, outputs as opposed to outcomes. 160,000 education experiences provided by the arts last year, I think. But now taking the next step to graduation rates or...
I think that's what's got to happen because those type of measurements is the validation and proof.
Right.
So that those who are deciding in this particular city, again, we're oversubscribed in what we do well, but we kind of fade to that next shiny penny next year. What's the new thing?
Yes.
And let me start dealing with the new thing yeah. instead of working with the thing that's
right.
working.
Right.
And I think we're going to have
right.
to get those measurements. You know, and I've been on board or chair of many organizations in this community, and I realize this is the hinge pin. It really is. You have those who will give because they had their own experiences.
Right.
And the more people you can find who had their own experiences, you got more folks. That's
right.
great.
Yeah. yeah.
We have great giving corporations. This is
we
what
do.
We're going to do. That's all great. But to really identify all of the many people in this community that don't fall in no silos, it's going to take the measurement. It's going to.
Yeah.
They're going to have to know that this is good.
Right.
And this is life changing. And I have the ability to be able to participate in this kind of life change.
Yeah.
I have to say.
That's you know, powerful.
Remember the Obama administration? He started the President's Committee on Arts and Humanity to do exactly what you're saying. And even though that hasn't been the priority over the last few years, that work is happening. And especially in the promise zones that continue that he started throughout the country to look at what interventions are we doing to change an entire community, mm-hmm. and they're looking at arts. And so yeah. that data is coming out now. They are looking at the positive impacts of it. And we use that data all the time to say, you know, we are changing the community through art. And one of our, you know, we have a couple organizations who are working on that workforce development and finding that research and saying, you know, yeah. if you're active in the arts, no matter what age, you're learning more about how to work in a community. You're learning about how to communicate with people who look different from you. So we need to get that information out. We need to talk about it more to do exactly what you just said.
Yeah, and I would just add on that. On the other side of that, you know, again, I serve on a lot of boards. Part of the testimony of the fruit, that this mm-hmm. is great fruit, mm. are we likewise either recruiting those folks into the organization? So do we have a place for them?
Right.
A real place, a place that they are now helping to magnify the message of the work, a place that they can also give back. You know, how might this transformation put them in a place where I know where I'm going to give my time, talent, and treasure because right. I know what it's done for me.
Right.
That's another piece that I think we have to have secure so that we, again, that's part of the validation. You know, and business is kind of objective, goal, strategy, and measure. So if our objective is the life change, and our goal is that we're going to do that in this community and region, and we're going to change folks, then we have the strategies in place. Those are already working. We got measure. But the measures of that are going to have to be visible. We're going to have to really see those folks. And,
right.
and we're going to have to get folks who had the courage to tell their testimony and how arts was used to not just kind of help guide them to their vision and their passion, how it changed their life. And that's where we are truly engaged with the community. And that's where when we have folks who are considering coming to Cincinnati, that this message is on the front page.
Right.
It's not just these corporations. It's not just, you know, this organization.
Right.
It's not whatever. It's really Cincinnati.
What if we were leading with our arts assets, our artists, our creative economy that is creating this vibrant community that you want to be a part of?
Absolutely.
I think that...
Look, I know I was coming here for Arts Wave, so my whole goal was the arts. But when I visited, they took me on a tour of all of the arts. And anyone who's been anywhere else can just see through the buildings themselves in Cincinnati that there's an investment here, that there are people who support the arts, that it is a rich, vibrant community to live in. And, you know, we do need to talk about that more if it's not getting out.
Yeah. Well, our Blueprint for Collective Action is all about how the arts put Cincinnati on the map to attract people and talent, how the arts deepen roots in the community to keep them here, how the arts bridge cultural divides, which Brent is doing every day, how they enliven neighborhoods like Lincoln Heights, and how they fuel creativity and learning in all of our kids. So ArtsWave has a blueprint, but Carl, you've, I think, challenged us even further today to get busy on the measurements and the outcomes and telling that story even more loudly. And maybe you can help ArtsWave get the chamber and others to put the arts first and see how they can lead us in the future. This has been a great conversation, guys. I thank you so much for joining me today. Carl Satterwhite, Brent Billingsley, and Ray Gargano talking with me, Alicia Kintner of ArtsWave Arts Wrap. And until we meet again, guys, it's a wrap for today.
Amazing. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.